Well, as you noticed in our scripture reading, we are going to cover several passages of scripture. Usually, you know that I preach through a passage of scripture, a book of the Bible. We'll be back in Hebrews next week, seeing it's Father's Day, I got to thinking this week and contemplating what to preach for Father's Day. And I was reminded of the many times that Jesus referred to God as Father. In John 17, we see this. We see a great example of the Father-Son relationship that God had with Jesus. As Jesus prays to the Father, he acknowledges the love of the Father. In three verses here, we see. Look at verse 23. It says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. You see that? As you have loved me. Jesus knew that God the Father loved him. In verse 24 it says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. There it is again. God confirming, or Jesus confirming, that he understands that God has loved him and loves him. And then, you don't have it in your bulletin, but verse 26 says, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you loved me, which you have loved me with, may be in them and I in them. So there's three times in that short prayer of Jesus to God, the Father, his Father, that he acknowledges that he knows God loves him. And I think this was the foundation, the driving force of their relationship, was this love that the Father displayed towards the Son, Jesus Christ. Clearly, love was the driving force in God's relationship with Jesus. The love of God, the Father, was displayed in many ways in the life of Jesus. Today, I would like us to take a look at three ways that God related to Jesus with his love to help us as fathers. And at the same time, I would like us to see how Jesus' reaction to the Father can help us as children have a good relationship with our dad. And so I really hope that we, as we focus on this relationship between God the Father and God the Son, that we will see that their love created this perfect relationship. And because of this great love that the Father displayed towards the Son, they had this wonderful relationship. And I think we can have that relationship too. But that love that God had for Jesus inspired or relegated or dictated some things in his relationship with Jesus. And I want us to see a few of those this morning. First of all, look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, in verses 21 and 22. This is the baptism of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist has just baptized Jesus. And he says in Luke chapter 3, in verse 21, when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. The first thing I want us to understand is that God the Father expressed his love, approval, and pleasure in Jesus, his Son. God, as the Father of Jesus Christ, expressed his love, approval, and pleasure in his Son. He made it clear to everyone publicly that he was pleased with his Son, that he loved his Son, and that he approved of his Son. God wanted Jesus to know how he felt about him, and he wasn't afraid to declare it publicly. We see first that God wanted Jesus to know that he loved him. He says, "This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. You are the one who I love." Our kids need to understand that we love them. And we should not be afraid to tell them that we love them. I saw a TV show just last week. And they were talking about how the dad never, ever said to the sons that he loved them. You know, it was an unspoken thing, you know, that kind of thing. And then as they inquired, they realized that his parents had never said to him that they loved him. And so he was just continuing the cycle. We need to break that cycle. We need to follow the example of God the Father and actually tell our children that we love them. That we love them. And you know what? When we tell our children that we love them, we'll have to back up our words. We'll have to back up our words. You know, my kids are very sensitive to my hypocrisy. Are your kids like that? My kids can point out when I'm being a hypocrite. They really can. They're good at it. They're really good. "Well, Daddy, you say this, but why are you doing that?" You know, they're good at that. So in telling them that I love them, I'm going to have to make sure that I'm actually displaying that love to them. Or else they're just going to go, "Yeah, sure." Right? Because they know. They know. Well, it's good for us to do this. It's good for us to tell our kids that we love them, and not only tell them we love them, but back up our words with actions. Show them that we love them. That we're, and one of the ways you can show them that you love them is to show them approval. Parents, we are very good at critiquing our children. We probably know their faults better than anyone else. And we can point out their faults better than anyone else, probably. We see their faults. We know what their problems are. And they need to be disciplined if their behavior is not appropriate. However, if that is the only communication that your children get from you, you are doing them and you a disservice in their relationship with you. You need to look for ways that you can show your children that you approve of them. If they do something that is good, look for those things. We're always looking for the bad, right? We're always on guard to make sure that we guard against them having any bad behavior. But how about using that same vigilance in seeing what they're doing that's good and then complimenting them on that, giving them praise for that? If they actually do their chores without you having to nag them, let them know that you're happy with that. Or just general obedience. We try and tell our kids all the time, "We're so happy that you do this or don't do that." Or, "We're so happy that you love Jesus. It makes us so happy that you love Jesus." Approval. Show them that you think that they are good and worthy of your love. Show them that. Show them that you really care about them and that you approve of them. In you, I am pleased. In you. God said to Jesus, right? In you, I am pleased. Our kids should know that. Our kids should know that in them, we are pleased. Just because every action they do isn't pleasing doesn't mean that we can't express that in them we are pleased. I am thankful for my kids. That is the kind of attitude that we should be displaying towards them. That we approve of them. That we really think a lot of them. And that we approve of them. God has given all of us a desire for approval. Right? We all want approval. We all want someone to say, hey, good job. I really think you're doing good in your life. I think you're headed in the right direction. Don't you want that from your heavenly Father? To know that, hey, he approves of what you're doing and that you're headed in the right direction? Absolutely. Then we should have that same attitude as earthly dads. As parents, we should express our approval to our children when they are making an effort to be to please us, to obey us, or to honor us. And I think that's one thing we can learn. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as it's describing love, it says, believes all things, in describing the kind of love that we should have towards one another. That phrase there is kind of hard to understand, so I did a little study on it. And what it really means is that you are looking at that person as someone who can be used by God in a way that is beneficial to his kingdom. Now, when you display that kind of love towards your children, what you're saying to them is, you're not just a useless piece of human trash. You are actually someone that God can use for his kingdom purposes. And that you are valuable not only in God's eyes, but you are valuable in my eyes. And I approve of you. In you, I am pleased. I approve of you. And I think that's important that we relate that to our kids. That we relate that to our kids. Dads, if you don't show that kind of approval towards your children, they'll seek it someplace else. And you might not like where they seek it. Let's be dads that will convey that we are pleased, that we approve of our children, that we are thankful for them. Not only that, he showed that he was pleased. God showed Jesus that their relationship brought him great pleasure. Their relationship brought God great pleasure. I think we should show happiness in being around our children and being in their lives. If our kids are around and all we do is say, oh, get out of here, right? And we never really show that we're happy that they're around, I don't think we're being good dads. I don't think we're following God's example of a father. I think we need to really show that they are our joy, that they are the joy of our lives, and that we enjoy being around them. You know, I was thinking of someone that might be a good example of this. And I thought about Tommy and Sue Goodfellow. Tommy and Sue, many of you know Tommy and Sue. Their lives revolve around spending time with their children and grandchildren. Of course, the Lord is first in their lives. We all know that. But if you think about it for a minute. They're constantly picking up their grandchildren, bringing them to Disney World, or taking them to a conference that they have to be at. But they're always there with their kids. They're always there with their kids and their grandkids. They're always trying to be involved in their lives. Of course, they can do it a little bit more than some of us because they're retired. But they're all, you can tell one thing, that it's their joy to have their children around them. Their faces light up when the kids are around them. They just have a joy in their heart when they are around their children. Their kids love Jesus. Their grandkids love Jesus and serve Jesus. I don't think that's a coincidence. Now, obviously, our kids can do whatever they want. They have the ability to choose whether to serve the Lord or reject the Lord. We understand that. But children that serve the Lord are developed. And we can see that in their lives, can't we? How did that come about? Well, one of those ways was that Tommy and Sue showed a great joy and pleasure in their relationship with their kids and their grandkids still to this day. And I think that's the kind of wisdom that God wants us to have in our lives, to integrate into our lives, to apply to our lives, so that we can have a great influence on our children and our grandchildren. If your grandchildren or children come to visit you, and all that you do is complain about them being there, and all you do is criticize them while they're there, and all you do is make them feel like you can't wait till they leave, don't expect to have much influence in their lives, especially for your God, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's make it where, hey, the kids are coming. That's great. Let's have them over. You know, even though they're going to make a mess of the house, let's not complain about it. Let's just enjoy our time with them and make them understand that we're thrilled to be around them. I hope that makes sense to us, because I guarantee that will help you in your relationship with your kids. So, with that said, dads, we should continually make efforts to show our children that we love them, that we approve of their good behavior, and we take great pleasure in being in their lives. Children, Jesus made it his goal to please his Father, making their relationship a perfect example for us to follow. Children, as you seek to honor your Father, and he seeks to love you and show his approval and pleasure in you, you will have a wonderful relationship together. Now, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 shows us something else about God's relationship with Jesus. Mark chapter 1 in verse 35. This is talking about Jesus. It says, "Now in the morning, having arisen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." And then in Luke chapter 5, in verse 16, once again describing Jesus, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, and on that day stood and read." Well, I read the wrong verse. Five, that's four. Okay, it's good that he was in the synagogue. 5:16, sorry about that. "So he himself," Jesus, "often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." So here we have two accounts of how Jesus would take time to get apart with his Father, God, and talk to him. Communicate with him. Have this time where he sought the counsel of the Father, where he was encouraged by the Father, where he was exhorted by the Father. And we see this wonderful relationship institute this communication. God established the kind of relationship with his Son that made it conducive for Jesus to talk with him. We should establish the kind of relationship with our children that makes them feel they can talk to us about anything. That they can talk to us about anything. When they come to us with a question, we shouldn't be making them feel stupid if they have a question. We should answer their questions. We should do our best to make sure our counsel lines up with the Word of God. Our kids should have a confidence that when they come to us for advice, that it's going to be biblical advice. That they know it's going to be solidly founded in the Word of God. And if they have that confidence, they're going to come to us. They're going to come more often to us because they know that when they hear from us, they are hearing the will and counsel of Scripture. And that's what we want. We want them to know that. We want to show them concern, that we are concerned about the affairs that they are going through, that we pray with them, and that we'll help them if it's beneficial. Our kids should know that. They should know that we will try and help them with their problems if it's beneficial for us to help them with their problems. And so as we do this, as we show them that we can answer their questions and not belittle them when they ask questions, as we show them that we are genuinely concerned about their problems by helping them when we can, by praying for them, and by lining our counsel up with the Word of God, we create this environment with them, this relationship with them, that makes it conducive for them to come to us and to talk to us. That's what we want to do with our kids. We want them to be able to do that. You know what? I want my kids to be able to come to me even when they've messed up and they know it. I want them to be able to come to me and say, "Dad, I messed up. I need your help with this problem. Can you help me figure this out?" I want them to be able to come to me even if that's the case. And then not think, "Oh, Dad's gonna call me stupid. He's going to chew me out. He's going to ignore me. He's going to belittle me. He's going to punish me in a wrong way." No, that shouldn't be what they're thinking when they need some help, when they need some counsel. So let's create this environment. Let's create this environment where we can be a resource of guidance and care for our children, and that they will recognize the blessing of coming to us for counsel. That's what we want to do. Children, go to your parents for counsel like Jesus did. It will be a blessing to you. They love you very much, and they have wisdom that you don't possess. Go to them for counsel. And then finally, I want us to look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. In verses 41 through 44. The Bible says this. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became great drops of blood falling down on the ground." Now turn to Matthew chapter 27 in verse 46. Matthew 27 in verse 46. As Jesus hung on the cross, it says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" This is probably one of the hardest things that God the Father had to do as a father to his son. God allowed Jesus to endure trials in his life so that Jesus could fulfill his purpose in the kingdom. God recognized that Jesus would have to endure great trials in order to fulfill his purpose in the kingdom. This meant allowing his son to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. The worst part of this experience for both Jesus and God was that time where they had to be separated from one another, where Jesus could not feel the presence of his Father so that he could bear the sins of the world. Our sins, mine, yours, all the sins of the world. He bore those sins so that he could fulfill his purpose in his kingdom, so that you could have your sins forgiven, so that you could have eternal life, so that you could have an opportunity to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that you could have salvation, so that you could spend all eternity in a loving relationship with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. But it took God allowing Jesus to suffer through some trials for that to happen. You know what? As a dad, my tendencies when my kids get in trouble or when they have a problem is to try and solve it for them immediately, to help them avert any discomfort or trials that they may go through, to try and make sure that their life is far more comfortable and easier than mine was. But you know what? That may not be God's will. That may not be God's will. God's will may be for them to suffer trials, for them to go through great difficulties, so that they can fulfill God's purpose for their lives. Many of you young people I know, have read several of the missionary biographies we have in the fellowship hall. I can't think of one of those missionaries that just had a wonderful life of ease. I mean, everything just went their way and everything was easy for them, and it was just so wonderful, that what we would think of as paradise, euphoric life. No, as a matter of fact, it was the opposite of that. They endured great trials, great sufferings, but it was for God's kingdom. It was for God's kingdom. You know what? Your child, if you coddle your kids and never let them go through any struggles or trials, never let them have to face problems on their own, you're not preparing them for the kingdom work. You're not preparing them well for the kingdom work. You need to have times where you discern that I'm not really helping my son or daughter if I bail them out in this situation. I'm actually hurting them and hurting their purpose in God's kingdom. And I think it's important that as parents we realize that. That we see that there's times when we just got to say, you know what? I need to back away and let God work this out through them and in them so that they will be prepared for what God has them to do. And I think that's a wonderful example, a wonderful principle we can learn as we see how God the Father related to God the Son. Sometimes we dads have to let our children endure trials on their own so they can fulfill God's purpose in the kingdom. Children, don't expect your dad to bail you out every time you have a problem come into your lives. Jesus didn't expect that. As a matter of fact, even as Jesus is enduring all of these trials, and awful trials, obviously, he never got bitter towards the Father. He asked, "Why have you forsaken me?" But we understand that he was crying out to his God in pain and anguish. He wasn't bitter at him. He kept, and even despite that feeling of loneliness and abandonment that he felt on the cross, he continued to do what God wanted him to do. That's what we ought to do. We ought to continue to do what God wants us to do, even when we feel like our dad may not be doing what we want him to do. And I think we'll be blessed by it. So, in conclusion, dads, let's show our children our love, approval, and pleasure in them. Let's create the kind of relationship with them that they recognize the blessing of talking to us. And let's recognize when we need to let them endure trials so they can fulfill God's purpose for their lives.